What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Ford 52 podcast brought to you by Fountain Ford. I'm your host, Chris Jones, and today we've got Steven Dragella in the house again, as always, and we're going to talk about real estate. Should you invest in it? Why should you invest in it? What does it mean to invest in it? What do you think, Steven?
Rent time. I'm going to flip the mic around here. There we go. All right. So actually, I'm going to flip it back over here. Here we go. All right. So a couple different layers. I'm actually going to write down. Oh, I got my mic turned a little bit. There we go. It sounds better. I'm actually going to write down one more note because you just gave me an idea. First time home buyers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So here's the deal, guys. This real estate thing, there's like Grant Cardone and there's all these things out there. All right, I'm going to go through a couple ways that you can I don't want to talk about making money in real estate. We're going to talk about how you can make money in real estate, but I want to talk about like the different little micro details that you need to know about and like the practical things about like buying a home and how you would make money or not make money buying a home and then like buying a rental property. And I want to go through like some of these. I'm going to make them a little bit ambiguous. And then when people come back with feedback that they want me to talk about these specifically, because each one of these specifically can be a full podcast, right? So first of all, here are the coverage points. So who is real estate for and investing in real estate, who that's for, commercial real estate, leverage and what it means, long-term appreciation versus playing for cash flow, and then first time home buyers. Okay. So first of all, to your host, first time home buyers out there, realize that it could be totally practical for you to not purchase a home and live in an apartment and technically save more money and have a longer term investment strategy in other areas than it would be for you to purchase a home. Purchasing a home can seem like an investment, but it can also be a terrible investment. And the reason why is if you owning that home has a higher monthly cost over a 10-year period, 5-year period, 30-year period, whatever it is, then you renting, it's technically not a good investment. And people go, well, what the property appreciates and this and that, and blah, blah. Okay, well, yeah, if you buy a property in the Heights in Houston 4 years ago, your appreciation beats the inflation and you are the appreciation of the house beats the actual inflation. And so while you were paying that the whole time, you are actually making more money every single year that you own the property, right? Now, if you're buying a house in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, your annual appreciation is not going to probably beat inflation by very much, maybe 3.5%, 4%, maybe 5% versus inflation at maybe 3%. So you need to realize that when you buy that house in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, that you're gonna have to pay taxes, you're gonna have to furnish the house, things might break. So all those costs could be higher than being in an apartment complex. But we're sold this American dream that says we're supposed to be home buyers, right? And you don't necessarily have to be a home buyer. It just all comes down to underwriting the numbers. And I'm gonna keep pointing back to that, which is underwrite the deal that's in front of you, okay? So that's for the first time home buyers, the home buyers out there that wanna think about, you know, oh, I'm just trying to pay down my note, okay? Well, I just did a calculation with my CPA last night. If you're at a 3.375 interest rate and you can make a 7.5%, 8%, 10% return on your money, is paying down your mortgage payment faster a good decision for you? My CPA saw some of my stuff going on some of my deals, said, hey, you're spending an extra X amount per month on these overpayments and you're getting the leverage that you have, and we'll talk about this in a minute, the note is at 3.375 or it's at 3.75 or 2.74, whatever it is, and we could be using that money in other areas. So that, you know, if you're doing that $300 at a time on four different properties, you have $1,200, right? So let's be clear, this for your first-time home buyers, et cetera, it might not be a bad idea to keep renting for the rest of your life. It all depends on the numbers, okay? And we can literally talk about that through a whole episode. Who is real estate for? It's for people that like risk. It's also for people that are patient, okay? So I'm going to talk about who is real estate for and commercial real estate all in one. I'm going to talk about leverage first, okay? So here's how leverage works, guys. You want to take the least amount of your money possible and make as much money possible. So if you have $1 million property and you know that you can get 80% leverage, that means that you have to put down $200,000. Your goal in calculating it is going to be one of two things. There's technically a little bit more, but we're going to make it as simple as possible. You're either playing for long-term appreciation or you're playing for cash flow. Long-term appreciation means that you bought it in the area knowing that you paid a little bit of a premium and you're not going to make a ton of cash on a monthly basis, but eventually when the property sells, it's going to be worth a significant amount more and you're playing that game. Now there's the cash flow game. That's the personal game that I play. I have my commercial real estate in markets that do not have a high appreciation. So I'm playing the cash flow game. I am buying it on a cap rate, and I'm buying it for as much leverage as possible because I want to leverage my money. If I have $1 million property, and I want the highest leverage possible, which I got 80% on it, which is huge for a commercial deal. And like in Houston right now, you can't get above 50% leverage. That means if you want to buy $1 million property, you have to put up 500 grand. You have less leverage. You're going to make less money per the dollar that you put in, right? And so I just want to make more money per my dollar that's put in. I want them to work harder. And so that can be calculated out to a cash on cash return, which is for $100,000 that I have in, what's my return annually? I prefer not to purchase a property that has anything lower than a 16% cash on cash. So on my $100,000 investment, well, let's use the $1 million property that I talked about before. On that $1 million property, if I put in $200,000 and I have a 16% return, I need 32 grand back every single year. That does not include the principal being paid down. That does not include anything else. That means the cash net is $32,000 a year. Okay. So going back to it, guys, you want to get guys and girls, excuse me, I have to be politically correct. You want leverage and you want to purchase off of that leverage and looking at the one of the two ways, appreciation of the property or cash flow of the property. Now, the commercial real estate thing is that's how they trade. They trade on how much money the property makes. So people get confused. They think that, oh, I'm going to buy this property and I'm going to pay what the property's worth. And when you trade for investment properties, so commercial real estate, even residential real estate that's used as investment property, you're trading on how much the property's making. Okay, so if this house right here is worth $1 million, but it makes a 10%, and it would make it worth $1.4 million or something like that because of the cap rate, the capitalization rate, it's worth $1.4 million because it's what somebody would pay for it because they can get more money on their money, right? The property value is superseded by the amount of money that they can make by owning the property. Make sense? So the commercial real estate thing comes into, okay, if you're going to get into that realm, that's fine. Are you doing lease up? I mean, there's so much we could have podcasts on every one of these, but on
we
the
probably will.
We right, absolutely. But on the commercial real estate side, whether it's commercial real estate, you're buying a couple of duplexes, whatever it is, you're still coming back to, am I buying it for its long-term appreciation or am I buying it for its cash flow? And in commercial real estate, the majority of the time, you're buying it for cash flow. I know that I can buy this 10,000 square foot building that has these five leases. They're all in at 2,000 square feet each. They're all on 5-year leases. They're all escalators. Escalators means they go up 3% in rent every single year, blah, 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 blah. You know, they pay all their utilities. There's all these different microstructures that can be set up. But you're buying that property based on how much money you're going to make on it. And that's also where you can do it for the flip side. Okay, so if commercial, you can flip that by doing a lease-up deal. That means that I'm going to buy Chris's property. Chris's property has five units, four out of five of them are rented. The fifth one is not rented. So you're selling your property on how much cash it makes, but you have a vacancy. So does that mean that your property makes less money, Chris? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you right now are not making as much money. So I'm only going to pay what you currently have at least up at. And maybe I'll put a little bit of value, but I'm going to have to do that job to get at least up. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I might do a lease up deal. It might be at 80% and I'm going to lease it up to 100%. And guess what I'm going to do then? I'm going to sell it. It's called a lease-up deal because now it's at 100% occupancy. And at 100% occupancy, I can look at a new seller and say, hey, just so you know, these guys are all locked in on 7-year deals. You're going to do $180,000 in gross on a monthly basis, and it's going to be $120,000 of net operating income. So here's how much I want for it. You just did a lease-up deal. All you did was get that next person in, and that'll be extrapolated out to a sales price, and you get to make more money. And that's how real estate works. And so I encourage, you know, there's so many people out there. I had a discussion only 2 weeks ago with a buddy of mine. He's like, hey, I've been saving up. I've got $200,000. I'm going to buy a $200,000 house and I'm just going to rent it. And I go, so for your $200,000, you're going to make, but dude, this happens all the time. For your $200,000, how much are you going to make on a monthly basis? He's like, oh, I'm going to rent it for like $1,500. And then I'm going to rent it for $1,500. And then like the taxes are like $3,500. And so I'm at like $300 a month there, and then like I don't know about utilities. I assume they pay for utilities. I'm gonna go through it. I'm gonna make like $1,100 a month. I'm like,
hold on to that money.
I'm like, word, okay. So got it. Okay. So, why don't you buy $1 million property? And he's like, how would I do that? I have 200 grand. And I'm like, leverage. He's like, well, how would I calculate that? And all of a sudden I started to write it out for him. He goes, how do you do this? I'm like, well, I learned from my buddy Cam. And you want your money to work harder for you, right? People think that debt is bad. And it's like, yeah, bad debt is bad. But leverage debt's gold. Because you're letting their money, they just want their, remember, they have too much money, right? So they want to deploy their capital, because if they don't deploy their capital, it's not making any fucking money. So they want to deploy it out at, now it's a little higher, so 4.5%, 5% on a certain year set, whatever it is, right? And so you have to remember that and realize that they want to do this, and that if your property covers their note, DSCR, debt service coverage ratio, if it covers at a certain number, they'll probably want it to be a 1.2, 1.3. They want to make sure that they're getting covered no matter what. Once they do that calculation, they find out that you have a 1.8 DSCR. They're like, holy crap, this guy's, I'm going to get paid no matter what. They just want their note to perform. That's all this is. You just got to make.
This is great stuff. I feel like, you know, there's definitely, we could go into detail on some future podcast episodes and kind of explain different aspects of this in more detail so that people, especially laymen, can understand, you know, why this is a good deal or why this isn't a good deal. And, you know, you hear so much about real estate all the time, and there's a lot of propaganda out there, and then there's
a tremendous amount.
Yeah, so you have to, you know, people losing their shirts right and left if they don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And what you have to realize is here's the baseline, and I'll end it with this. At the end of the day, you have to set what your minimum return you want is. And what you're going to do is at times you'll end up underwriting these deals. You can do a BOE. It's called a back of envelope. Literally, it just means you get these key numbers. What's your NOI? What are the taxes? Whether you can do it on the back of an envelope. You want to be able to do it in a bar is kind of the goal. It's kind of a little old banker's tale. And what you need to realize is at the end of the day, your number needs to be your number. So you can't get emotional about the property because of this, that if your strategy is a cash on cash, I need to be at a 16% and here's my minimum. You can't be underwriting a bunch of deals and then just take one that's close to it. You stay at your minimum. You don't deviate from that. And then you do not do a deal unless it hits that number. And that's what, you know, that's what Cam and I have done is, you know, and Billy, we sit there and we set our numbers and we're not gonna deviate from that. And that's how you make sure you make money. Remember, everybody, one key thing, never lose capital. Never lose capital. Go ahead, boy.
All right. Hey, man, this episode had a ton of value. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Please subscribe, download, leave us a good review. We're on all the major channels. And tune in next week for the next episode of the 452 podcast. I'm your host, Chris Jones. See you next time.